Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and now a call in on the ethics of becoming a father in your 60s. I raised this briefly yesterday as an issue for the Fred Thompson campaign because he raised responsible fatherhood in the Sunday night debate. So let's listen to the two clips again from the debate, and then we'll take your calls, not just on Thompson, but on the larger ethical question of anyone becoming a father in their 60s. Women obviously don't have this biological option to parent at that age. Here is what Fred Thompson said in the middle of the debate.
We can't lay all this at the feet of any government. We have to accept some hard truths. Part of the problem in our education system and with our children has to do with the societal breakdown that's going on in this country. We need more fathers to stay and raise their kids.
We need more fathers to stay and raise their kids. And he got a big round of applause. But this is what Fred Thompson said at the end of the debate. In fact, he was so anxious to get this in that he bizarrely interrupted the moderator, Britt Hume, after Hume had actually ended the debate and was saying good night. Listen carefully for that at the beginning of this clip.
Tonight, our thanks to the candidates.
And I should add, the most important part is I'm the proud father of five. Two of them are under the age of four. So let me add that to the list.
So Thompson brought that up to prove he wasn't lazy, which was the question. But Fred Thompson chooses to raise this issue to admonish fathers to stay and raise their children, as he put it. But he's 65. The average life expectancy for men in the United States is 74. So chances are Fred Thompson will be dead before his two young toddlers reach adolescence. He's not setting himself up to do what he was admonishing some other anonymous fathers to do, stay and raise their kids. Is this an issue worth raising? Is this hypocrisy on Fred Thompson's part? Would this not be an issue if he was a woman bearing children in her 60s and running for president of the United States? Can you imagine? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And on the larger question, what are the ethics of anyone becoming a father in your 60s, presidential candidate or not? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. As I said earlier, women obviously don't have this biological option, so this is mostly an issue for men. There have been little firestorms in the media when women at 53, 54 is at the oldest, have gotten pregnant through implantation or whatever. Why do we talk about that and not about this? Is it ethical to have kids in your 60s at all, given the human life expectancy? 212-433-9692. Does money change the equation? Thompson is rich. He can have a team of nannies raise these kids along with his younger wife. His wife is younger than his first child, but that's another show. But does money change the ethics of having kids in your 60s? Thompson raised the issue for others in the context of single-parent poverty in education, and yes, that makes it different in that respect if his wife, or widow, can hire a team of male role models, sports coaches, and breadwinners, and tutors to replace the father in education, which was his context. You know, that is one issue off the table. But how much does it change the ethics for you? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And seriously, has anyone listening right now ever become a father in your 60s? Do you know anyone personally, not yourself, who has? If so, was it by intent, like with Fred Thompson? If so, have you or that older dad you know planned for being old or dead when the kids are teens and arguably need you the most? I'm asking in all seriousness, do you talk to them about it? Do you have other men in other relationships with your kids in preparation for being gone or infirm? What do you actually do to be as ethical as you can in that situation? Or if this is about someone else you know, what does he do? Is this an ethical issue? It's a call-in on the ethics of becoming a father in your 60s. 212-433-WNYC. 433-9692. Molly in Pelham, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Yes, hi. Well, I was thinking that while, you know, I think obviously he was raising a different issue. He's talking about fathers who abandon their children. And as you said, he's financially able to support them whether he's going to be there or not. But I also think it's an ethical issue given that, from what I read, he and his wife used in vitro fertilization. And this is a man who's against stem cell research, against apparently the discarding of embryos. And yet he used science to go ahead and at an age where possibly it's unnatural or, you know, whatever, to have these children. And I do think it's a...
Now, there are many people who take who draw the line there at in vitro fertilization being okay, although I guess there are discarded embryos in any case, right? In
yes.
In vitro. They just don't want to encourage the discarding of more embryos or the creation of more embryos to, you know, not have a chance to be born for the sake of research.
Well, they don't want people to be able to use those embryos for stem cell research either.
Right.
So, you know, that is a different issue, but I think it is the same sort of, it is a double standard. I think he obviously mm-hmm. has a double standard.
Right, so that's another one.
Good for him is not good for necessarily everybody.
Molly, thank you very much.
Nick in
New Jersey, you're on WNYC. Hang on, I got rid of Molly's line. There I did. Hi, Nick, you're on the air.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Enjoying the show, man, as always.
Thank you.
Listen, I'm just thinking to myself, what's next? We've got to say, hey, let's poor people of certain income can so many kids because, hey, they're going to have to work two jobs. They might not be available, and their life expectancy isn't as long because they don't have money.
Well,
I mean, you know, this guy is more controlism. I mean, let it fly, man. If he's got the money to take care of a kid and he wants to have an older kid, when he's older, that's his business.
Now, in the mid-90s, we were debating, you know, Newt Gingrich's proposal that certain kids be taken from their parents simply if the parents are too poor.
Absolutely, right.
So, you know, that's the whole other side of the coin. That's on the economics. But you think age should just not be seen in and of itself
kind of,
as an ethical issue?
Right, it's such a personal thing and a personal decision and a personal ability and level of being able, like you're talking about taking care of people and taking care of children. And you know, I'm a father, I got my kids, you know, I'm taking care of them, you know what I mean? I'm doing the best I can.
Yeah.
But I assume that's the main focus, you know?
Right. Well, is there any age where it would kick in for you? There was, I think, the talk show host, late talk show host Barry Gray had... a child when he was like 76, and he died a few years later.
The Odd Couple guy too. He had one real young.
Oh, right. I'm picturing him, and I can't think of the name.
I can't either.
But I know who you're talking about. Tony Randall.
Yeah. No, as far as I'm concerned, it would have to be an individual thing. I mean, how about the woman in Italy who had like kids when she was in her 50s or 60s or something. Remember, it was in a...
Yeah, so the fact that it was Tony Randall and he's got the money to hire the coaches and the tutors and the nannies, that changes it.
Yeah, because, hey, we want to adopt kids and foster children and all that, too. You just do the best you can, I think. You know?
Nick, thanks a lot for your call. And Marilyn in Asbury Park, you're on WNYC. Hi, Marilyn.
Hi. Thank you.
You bet. So?
I just wanted to comment from my end of it. I am the product of a 65-year-old father when I was born. My mother was 28 years younger, and they both died when I was 20 years old.
Hmm. So your father lived to 85. And what was it like when you were a teenager?
It was wonderful. I mean, it was different. People thought my father was my grandfather. But my parents were wonderful people. They instilled in me a great education from the home and a great purpose of being a philanthropist and a community worker at a young age. I was taught to work hard and survive, and it was a middle-class family, so I didn't have a lot more than anybody else around me. And right now I own 3 restaurants. I do a PBS cooking show, and I sit on 4 boards within my community and raise a lot of funds for charity. So I don't think that it was a hindrance.
So you think it should not be seen as an ethical issue, becoming a father in your 60s?
Not at all. I think a parent is a good parent for who they are, not for their money or their age or their standing in the community. If they teach good things to their children will grow into good people.
And if your father had died at the average life expectancy for an American male when you were 9?
My father had a stroke when I was 7, and my mother had a nervous breakdown when I was 9. They went on to get through their illnesses and become stronger, and my relationship with them became stronger because of those hurdles. But mostly my parents taught me to be educated and kind. And whatever their issues were, as people, they were educated and kind. And none of us went to college. And my brothers, myself, and my parents went on to do great things.
Marilyn, beautifully put. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Cheryl in the West Village, you're on WNYC. Hi, Cheryl.
Hi. I listen to this, and unfortunately, I get furious. I don't even think this goes to the 50s. I think it goes even, into the 60s. I think it goes to the 50s. If a guy is going to make kids, he'd better make very, very sure that his other children don't mind coming forward and becoming the parents. In my particular family, we were 20 years apart, and my younger sibling, unfortunately, was the recipient of a lot of genetic stuff that was not so happy. And the rest of us are now trying to do what my parents couldn't, which is try to raise her. And it's very hard and it's very sad.
So you heard Marilyn's story.
I think it's wonderful, and I think because I have other friends who are not in dissimilar situations, I think she was blessed with wonderful, wonderful parents. My parents were great people, but not great parents. And as my mother often told me, not everybody should be married. Not everyone should have children.
And you think that after a certain age,
they
should have great
paws. I think if you want children, you adopt, you become foster, mm-hmm. you take in another pet. But to start making children, especially when the genetic load may be really ugly, is a pressure put on the siblings, and if there is not the economic support there, or if it's in our case, it was tied up so that the youngest one would be protected, and that meant that the rest of us do not have financial assistance, but mm-hmm. we are spending great portions of our lives trying to make her life at least somewhat acceptable and happy, and it's not succeeding.
Cheryl, thank you very
not
much
fun.
For your call.
Okay.
Now, a few people are calling in to try to refine the stat that I was using, which is life expectancy for the average American male, 74 years. And I'll let Gary in Manhattan take this shot. Hi, Gary. You're on
Hi,
WNYC.
Brian. Pleasure to talk to you. Yes, that is the principal reason that I called. While a person born today will likely have a life expectancy, I believe, of about 74 years. If you're alive today and you're 65 years old, you were referring to Senator Thompson,
yes.
then your life expectancy is in excess of 18 years.
Uh-huh. If you've made it to 65, then you are likely to live to 83
that is
as
correct.
A male in the United States.
That is correct.
Okay.
And so I think that changes the...
And my producer just looked that up, and she said the stat is if you're in good health at 65, then you're like, which I guess he is, then you're likely to live to 83. But how much does that change it? Even the idea of being a, 78-year-old with a 15, 16-year-old kid.
Well, I mean, it's it's not an ideal situation. I had children when I was in my early 40s. I'm now in my early 50s, and so my kids are all in grade school. And, it's obviously different having kids at 40s from 60s. I do think about the fact that I don't have the, when they're teenagers, I'm not going to have the energy that I once had. And it's not ideal. But on the other hand, there are certain benefits
right.
to being older.
And that's a 20-year difference still. Somebody called in to say Saul Bellow had kids in his 80s. I don't know if that's true, but somebody called in to say it. Greg in Manhattan, you are in your 60s and you have little kids.
I'm 63 and my kids are 5 and 6.
Okay, so you were still in your 50s, but what do you think about this whole conversation?
I think it's quite extraordinary that people are shocked that, you don't feel any different. I remember seeing an interview with Rod Steiger once, and he said he had children late, and somebody said, does that change the way you feel about your children? And he said, your emotions don't age.
I'm sure it doesn't change the way, I mean, I might, but I mean, the way you feel about your children, that's one thing.
Well, I've never had children before.
Right. Do you feel, in fact, I think some people who are older even more cherish their children because they haven't had them before. But, you know, not to make a blanket statement about that. Have knowing that you're older, have you planned in any way for the possibility that you might not be around or might be infirm as your kids grow? Like how?
Yeah. We're Australians. We got a green card and came to work in America. My wife has a job in the arts that, you know, occupies her fully, and I'm a photographer, so I don't work all the time. I pick them up from school every day. I do I play freeze tag in the playground with them. I probably seem like a sort of crazy person to a lot of people.
Because you're loving it.
I dash around the playground and do it all.
You're loving it.
I don't care what anybody thinks. That's another thing that happens.
Yeah, but for later, anticipating, you know, when they're older and you're much older or gone, anything are you setting something up, contingencies or anything like that other than financial?
Financially? No, not really. No, I'm just being the best dad I can be.
Right. Okay, and sounds like you're a great dad. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Let's see. How about Marshall in Bloomfield? You're on WNYC. Hi, Marshall.
Hi, how are you?
Okay.
Yeah, the 77-year age difference age limit is really incorrect. But that averages in all the people that died of small children. You really have to look at
right. Well, we corrected that. If you get to 65 and are healthy, then your life expectancy as a male in America is about 83.
Right. Okay. Well, I guess I was coming in from the car when you made that statement. But I was 52 when my daughter was born, and everything was really great.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's great. And, you know, but the question is really about people in the 60s. Alice in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. You'll get our last 30 seconds.
Well, I really don't have that much of an opinion about being in your 60s and raising kids, but the original question is whether I thought Senator Thompson was being hypocritical in
yes.
his comments,
uh-huh.
and I do think that the purpose of his closing statement was to pander to the social conservatives that he's a Republican Party, and, you know, what's good for, you know, what's, you know, he's criticizing single moms, and maybe, you know, he's perhaps making a racial comment.
And Alice, that has to be the last word. I thank all of you for your calls. The executive producer of this program is Nuala McGovern, with Jim Colgan, Lisa Allison, and Priya George producing, and Debbie Daughtry at the audio controls. I'm Brian Lehrer.